You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day. For those who don't know me, my name is Mario. And what can I say? You know, I want to make sure you understand what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. Today is a very special day for me. Extremely special day. Because today I'm here to bear witness to every one of you. Okay? I'm here to bear witness to every one of you that I have seen the Father. You know, before I left to see my mom who brought me into this world, I remember my dear brother David McDowell was saying that I have a powerful testimony to give. And I think he was referring about my childhood. And yes, that's part of my journey. That has been part of my life. But I want you to stay focused. It's not what happened to me in my past, in my childhood. I want you to see what God has done in my life. That's what I want you to stay focused. Because I can speak to you and bear witness to you and tell you all the stuff that I went through, all the hell that I went through to come to America. But if I don't bear witness to you that I have seen the Lord, the resurrected Lord, Jesus Christ, I have seen him. And the problem with the church nowadays that we have become like Thomas. That unless we don't see him, we won't believe. But Jesus said, blessed are you. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. Amen. That's what I want you to talk about this morning. I'm going to give you a little bit of testimony about my life for those who don't know me. But at the same time, I want to show you how God, with his mighty hand, brought me out of my own Egypt to the land flowing with milk and honey, to the promised land, to the American dream. And this dream that I had it when I was a child. Because I didn't have a mom and a dad who lead me and guide me and show me the way. And Jesus said that there's only two ways, not three, not four, two ways. One that leads to destruction, and the other one that leads to eternal life. And this generation that I have talked to, they would rather go to the bright road that leads to destruction, but they don't want to follow the road that's narrow. You know why? Because they're going to ridicule you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to call you names. They're going to insult you. You have no idea the insults that I have received from people calling me names. Like you're an illegal alien, you don't belong here. But you know what? I know who I am. I know that God is my daddy. I know he brought me into this world for a purpose. You're not here by accident. I'm not here by accident. And I still hear those words in my ears. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're never going to accomplish anything. Look at you. And do you think that somebody came and picked me up out of the street and lift me up and said, don't give up? Come on now. Nobody picked me up. And you know what? God did it so I can stand here and give him the glory and honor, because if Mr. So-and-so would have helped me, they would be receiving all the glory and honor and praise. And God says, I'm not going to share my glory with nobody. No one. Unto God be the glory. The honor and praise. That's why I'm able to do. That's why I am a witness. I can bear witness how the mighty hand of God brought me all the way down from one of the poorest countries in the world and brought me here. I would have died when I was a child. I had a big stomach like this. I was dying of starvation. I'm not here because I came here as a student and I wanted to go to school and then I was going to. No, that was a lie. I was so embarrassed to tell the people, the American people, this is the reason why I came here. Because I was dying. I was dying. And nobody picked me up out of the street and get me close to work. Nobody did. But God did it in a way so I come here and bear witness to you that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. He's alive, church. People said to me, Mario, you are a fanatic. And yes, I am a fanatic. Amen. I am a fanatic. Like a professor who wants to complete his knowledge. I am a fanatic of this gospel. And nobody can take the joy away from me. Because I still face rednecks and hateful people outside the street, whatever that word redneck means. I have no clue, you know. There's a guy at work. I'm a joyful person. Okay, I am a joyful person. I don't care if it is 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. By 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm crying out to God. Save me from my enemies. Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. That's my prayer before I go to work. Before I open those doors, I always lift up my head. Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. And let those who hate you flee from you. You know why I say that? Because the Apostle Paul says that a great open doors have been opened unto me, but with it, many adversaries. And there's this guy at work, he has never called me by name. He always calling me names, you know? And he said to me, early in the morning, he said to me, Mario, I know why you're always joyful. Just like that. I know why you're always happy. And I stand on him like, so tell me why. I know you've been smoking weed every day. I know, Mario, you're not going to fool me. You ain't going to fool me. Little that he knows, okay, that the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of joy, peace, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. To what can I compare this, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said? It's like a mustard seed. You know, somebody came and preached the gospel to me for the very first time. I didn't even know there was such a thing as God. I didn't even know that. I came to America to make money. That's why the reason I came to America, just to make money, because I didn't want to be poor, because being poor is a curse. What loving father wants to see his children begging for bread? Come on now. I love my daughter with all my heart. And I don't want her going on the streets begging for bread so she can make a living. I don't have to work for a job if I have to. But I don't want my child to go around places like that. And then they're saying, why? God doesn't want you to go around and be begging for bread. You know, why do I pray? Why do I pray? Because I need my God. I need my daddy. Every day. I cannot wait for the preacher to tell me what to do on Sundays, because the kind of calling that I have received, it requires a lot of work, a lot of prayer. And I want to give you a little bit of testimony, but then I'm going to preach. Okay? I went to see my mom, the woman who gave me birth. Okay? See, when I was a child, I thought that she's the one who wanted to kill me. And she used to tell me, if you come home, I'm going to kill you. And I would run away from home. I never had a home. I never did. Because my mother, I thought it was my mother who wanted to kill me. But later on in life, when I received Christ into my heart, and I surrendered my life to him, because I heard that God loved me so much. He loved me. He was obsessed with me. He wanted to have a relationship with me. And when I gave my life into the Lord, it's like something came into life. And I was wondering, you know, what is going on with me? So the moment I received Christ, I went and helped the poor. I went to Hollywood. I didn't have a bus. And I didn't have a car. Then I had to take the bus. And I remember the first man I saw, a homeless person. I went to the store and I bought a bag of, bunch of food, you know, because since I was starving and hungry, I said to myself, maybe God is calling me to feed the hungry, those that are hungry. So I went to the store and bought a whole bunch of food, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and I went there by myself, and the first man I saw, and I said, okay, Lord, this is the man that you want me to speak to. I'm going to feed him, and I'm going to tell him about you. I confronted him, and I said, sir, he was pushing on those carts, the shopping cart, bunch of crap, you know, garbage. And I said, sir, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. God loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And here's some food so you can eat. You know what he said? Go away from me, you stupid. He hurt my feelings. Go away from me, you illegal alien. Just like he insulted me. You know what I did? I put the bag that was carried, I put it on the side, and I never offered food to the homeless again. Because I realized, you know, that was not my calling. Not that I mean when I see somebody hungry, I don't mean that. But that was the last time I went to the streets and offered people to eat because I was searching for my calling. It's a long story short, I was on my way to work and I saw a van and there were a bunch of teenagers in chains, ankles and wrist. And I stopped and I looked at them and I felt so much compassion for them. And I looked at them and said, what is going on? So long story short, I went and talked to the people who were in charge of this juvenile. And I said, look, I need to talk to whoever's in charge. So he gave me the number. I called this person, and I said, look, I know I can help these kids. Give me a chance to speak to them. So he gave me a chance, and long story short, you know, the man who was in charge says, how many kids do you want? You want one or two or three? And I said, just give me 10 for right now and see how it goes. In a short period of time, maybe a month or so, it was standing room only. I mean, this church was packed with teenagers who are locked up, you know, in prison for good, for a long time. I went to see my mom recently, and when I saw her, you guys, I'm telling you, God waited and waited and waited. When I saw her, she was laying down, no one to help her, like a quote-unquote vegetable that's not good enough, and nobody wanted to get close to her. I got close to her. I tried to lift her up as much as I can. I hold her into my arms. And I said to her, I love you, mother. I love you, mother. And I'm so glad that God chose you to bring me into this world. Now, years ago, I couldn't say that. I couldn't say that because I thought that she was the one who wanted to kill me. But it was not her. It was the devil. He knew who I was. The devil knew who I was. That's why he wanted to kill me. That's why he was strangling me and choking me. It was not my mother. It was the devil. That I got a revelation from God himself. The Apostle Paul said that the gospel I preach is not something that men made up. Neither I received it from any man, nor was started, but through revelation through Jesus Christ. Revelation. And that is what you need, is revelation. You already got all the information that you need. But the word that is being preached to you every Sunday has to travel 15 inches from your head to your heart. Because that's what the devil wants. It's the seed that it's like a farmer who went out to sow his seed. You know what, church? It's no longer up to the preacher. The farmer, all he can do is sow his seed. And some fell on dusty road. Some fell on a rock. Some fell on thorn. And some fell on good soil. Don't blame it on the preacher. You know how many many people I talk to out there, and they're blaming the church, and they're blaming here, and blaming there. Oh, the music is too loud. The music's not loud enough. The preacher's here, and I say, you know what? Have you ever asked yourself this question? What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? In the scripture, there was a boy named Samuel. Just like the preacher was saying. And this is what God wants me to preach. About Samuel. God called Samuel. Can I tell you something? Just believe me when I tell you this. I did not take this call upon myself. I didn't take this call upon myself. God called me. I was reading the scripture, brother. And I don't read. I've never been in school. I may have third grade education. But I can read slow. And so the scriptures can be fulfilled in my hearing. The love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Never. God will never fail you. For great is his love that reaches to the heavens. His righteousness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, among the nations. And let your glory be over in all the earth. And you know what God says? Just be still. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, God says. And I will give my glory. I'm not going to give my glory to no one. Samuel was asleep. He kept running to Eli. Did you call me? No. Go back to sleep. The second time, God called Samuel again. Did you call me? And Eli said, no. Go back to sleep. You're dreaming. The third time, God called Samuel again. And Eli realized that God was calling him. And Eli said to Samuel, next time he called, you tell him, here I am, Lord. Speak, for the servant hear it. For no eye have seen, no ears have heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Underline the word love. Love him. I never love anyone. I love my daughter. I love her to death. But I have never loved God the way he wanted me to love him with all my heart. You know why? Because you cannot give something away that you don't have. How can God tell me to love him with all my heart and with all my strength, with all my mind, when I don't even know what love is? And I said, Lord, why are you calling me? You obviously don't know what you're getting into. That's what I said. And you know what God did? As God is my witness, I'm going to speak to you on a spiritual level. On a spiritual level. I was worshiping him in his spirit. Because you already heard that the Father is seeking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Can you say amen to that? I was worshiping him in the spirit. And all of a sudden, you know, I felt like Ezekiel. In chapter 37, in the book Ezekiel, that the hand of the Lord was upon me. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And he brought me out. Ezekiel said he brought him out by the spirit. It is the spirit that gives you life. The flesh counts for nothing. That's what Peter said to our Lord Jesus Christ. To whom will shall we go? You have the words that gives eternal life. When he saw the 72 left, and he asked the disciples, do you want to live? Do you? And And Peter said, no, Lord, to whom shall we go? So I was in the spirit. In the spirit, remember that. And since I had never spoken to people in public, I always been shy. I've always been a sissy Christian, whatever you want to call it. I never wanted to speak to people. I'm scared. And he brought me out by the spirit, and he told me to drive all the way down to the parkway. And he showed me where to go. I climbed the biggest rock that I can climb by myself. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't do what I did. But now that I look back, that was stupid. I don't do what I did. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. If God is calling you, you got to do what you got to do. I got up to the topest height of the rock, and then I can sense the spirit telling me, now you go down. So I went to the other way. And he made me stand amidst a bunch of trees, you know? Bunch of trees. And I can hear God saying to me, I want you to speak to those trees. Now, in reality, it looks foolish. Foolish. Since I never spoken to anyone. And I look at those trees, you know? And I started preaching to them. That's how my preaching started, my call started. You know, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I got from King James Version. You may have a different translation. The evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. We understand that the world's plural, were framed by the word of God. So things which are seen were made of things which do not appear. So I started preaching to the streets. I started talking to the streets. Repent! Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what? You are part of my tree. You know, huh? And I remember saying, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like the tree planted by the water that spreads out his roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, and his leaves are always green. You know why? Because God was teaching me how to. I'm not the greatest communicator that you have. See, my name is not Billy Graham. My name is not Billy Graham. But you know what? He's the one who spoke to me the first word, that God loves me. And when I go to heaven and see my heavenly Father, I'm going to stand right next to Billy Graham. And God's not going to say, okay, Billy, since you went all over the world, I love you more than Mario. No. In God's eyes, there's no such a thing as second class. All of us, are the child and daughters of the Most High God. All of us here. God doesn't want to look so and say, you know what? Mario, you screwed, man. You only went to Cuba and you only went here and now there, but this guy went all over the world. No. That's not the way my daddy is. When he sees you, he loves you. You know, when he sees you, he sees Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man might be lifted up. So anyone can see it, the Son might be healed. You know what, guys? It was foolish to think that Moses lifting up the snake, people were going to get healed. Dumb. What God wanted to see them, to see beyond the snake. Look beyond the snake. When they make me stand in front of the flag, I became an American citizen, and they asked me, are you willing? Are you willing to give up your life if the enemy comes and attacks us? And I look at the flag, and I say, yes, I'm looking at the flag, but I was looking beyond the flag. I was looking at my Father and how far he got brought me into this land that I can have, enjoy the blessings that you enjoy. So how do I do this? Well, first of all, you have to have perseverance. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials, because when he has when he had stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. But you have to go through a process of test. Just like the farmer who went out to sow his seed. It's a test. The reason why the church is struggling nowadays is because you have to be rooted and grounded in love. You are worried about so much stuff going on. You are worried about work. You worry about food. You worry about clothes. And Jesus says all these things will be added unto you. Can I tell you something, church? When you seek God, seek him because he is so beautiful. Don't seek his arms. Seek his face. But you know why? Because God is not your sugar daddy. You know, people often get mad at God because God didn't answer their prayers. God is such a loving God, Mario. How come, you know? And I said, how often do you pray? Only when I'm in trouble. There you go. And that's what the problem is. You got to worship God whether you are here or you are down. Whether you're here or you're down. You know, like the woman who had an issue with the judge. It's right there in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. He kept coming back to the judge and said, have mercy on me. You know? And for some time, the judge refused to listen to her. And this judge didn't fear God, nor care about men. Grant me justice against my adversary. For quite some time, he refused. But finally, the judge said to himself, even though I don't fear God, nor care about men, but this woman keeps bothering me. And I'm going to make sure she gets justice right away. And Jesus says, look at what the unjust judge says, the rude judge. And God, who's so loving, you don't think it's going to bring justice to you that you cry out to him day and night? It's going to bring justice. You have to have perseverance, and you have to be persistent. You got to be persistent. Like Zacchaeus, for instance. I mean, Zacchaeus was probably shorter than me. And he saw big crowds. And he couldn't see the Lord. He wanted to see him. And finally, you know, he kept running and running and running. And he saw a tree. And he climbed. You know the story. I don't have to go through that. And Jesus stopped just for him. And he told him, come down, Zacchaeus. Come down. What about with the woman with the issue of blood? You know, persistent. You gotta keep praying. Jesus told us to pray. Pray so you won't fall into temptation. Keep praying. Don't give up. Just keep praying. You have to have perseverance, you have to be persistent, and you have to have determination. Because without determination, you will never going to reach your destination. You got to have determination. Look at David when he saw Goliath, for instance. You think he ran away? He killed him. And he told the army of Israel he was going to kill him. He was going to take his head as a trophy to his house. And look at my Lord Jesus. He didn't want to die on the cross. But he prayed. And he asked his disciples, stay awake with me. Wake up. Stay awake. Just for 1 hour. Pray with me. Pray with me. Pray with me. Stay awake. Just 1 hour. So I say unto you, wake up, you that sleep. Wake up. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Set your heart on things above, where Christ, where the anointing is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you die. What? Yeah, you die. You die. Tell the world goodbye because you die. I'm speaking to you on a spiritual level. You have died. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Come on, church. Have a life. Have a life, church. Wake up. Rise from the dead. Wake up those giants. Wake up those giants that live inside of you. Wake up those lions. Wake up. The journey just about to begin. Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and those that hate you flee from you. Five of us can change 100. Five of us. When the devil is raising hell against you, remind him that I'm still here. Tell the devil that I'm still here. He knows who I am. Remind him. He knows. He wish he could have killed me. But God protected me. You know? God, unto him be the glory for great things he have done. Great things. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Come on, church. Wake up. Rise from the dead. Rise. Rise, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Christ, the hope of glory. Can you say amen, church?